Now, we notice here in verse 2, and I'm reading, "Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." Now, the idols were voiceless. They had no voice at all. They were dumb. And Paul calls them, in other places, nothings. Idols are nothings. The idol, Paul said, you remember, relative to things offered to idol, meat offered to idol. Why, he says the idol is nothing. Therefore, it wouldn't make any difference whether the meat had been offered to it or not. But everyone doesn't quite understand that. And back in Psalms 115:5, the psalmist says, speaking of idols, "They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not." And Habakkuk in 2:18 says, "What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it? The molten image and a teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols." The very interesting thing is that he's going now to talk about the gifts that the living God gives to believers. Now, will you notice, here he states at verse 3, the great truth, it's the absolute verity of the Christian life. And you know what it is? It's the Lordship of Jesus. He says here in verse 3, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed." You can't belittle Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. It won't work. And by the same token, he says, "and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit." Oh, he can pronounce the word. He can say Lord. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, you remember, that in that day there'd be many that would say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons?" Why, he said, "I didn't even know you." Why? Because it was all on the surface. The Lord Jesus was not the Lord. Now, this is a conviction of the soul. What is the central truth of the Christian faith? There are those that say, why, it's the cross of Christ. I want to say that I rather disagree with that. You come to the cross to be saved, but you don't stay there. You don't hang around an empty cross. You have to do then with the living Christ. And that is the thing that I think that is all important. The thing that Simon Peter said on the day of Pentecost, and he concluded his message with this tremendous statement, and this is it. Verse 36 of Acts 2, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." He's the Lord. And it's the sovereignty of Jesus Christ today. That's the important thing in the Christian life. Now, the Holy Spirit commands the soul's obedience and allegiance to Jesus. And the church is made up of those who are gathered around that truth as interpreted by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit interprets the Lordship of Jesus to my life. And this is the great section on the church, by the way, that we're dealing with right now. And yet, there have been so many tangents that people have gone off on. Somebody says, well, I thought Ephesians was the great epistle. Well, it is, but Paul now is moving into spiritualities here. And the great question always that he asks, whom say ye that I am? Right now, wherever you are, you may be that plumber way down in Georgia. You may be in that truck. You may be a truck driver. You may be in an office. Maybe in your home. You may be an executive like up in San Francisco, this man that when he tapes it, so that if he's not able to hear it during the day, at night, it's his devotion. Now, whoever you are, wherever you are, and however you are, and whenever you are, whom say ye that I am? That's the question Jesus is asking you, and he's asking me. Simon Peter, speaking for that group, says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the anointed one. You're the King. You're the Lord. That's it. Now, no man is fit to serve Christ's church who's not been mastered by Jesus Christ. Now, we've seen that before in this epistle. Back in the carnalities, he emphasizes that. Now he emphasizes that again.